This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala Rasulillah. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah that Allah azza wa jal has allowed us to unite once again. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite us in a better place than this world, in the paradise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our gathering, to bestow His mercy and forgiveness upon us, and to forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings. My brothers and sisters in Islam, tonight's talk is titled Submission to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the aim of tonight's talk is that we walk away, inshaAllah ta'ala, with a refreshed and a renewed sense of what it means to submit to Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What does it mean to be a Muslim? You see, because Allah Azza wa Jal, He commanded in the Quran that we become and we remain committed upon Islam. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said from the great ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, O you who believe, fear Allah in the manner He deserves to be feared, and do not dare to die except in a state of submission and Islam. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. This is Allah Azza wa Jal's commandment to mankind, especially to the believer. And so because Allah Azza wa Jal commanded this, the first people who rush to Allah's command are the prophets and the messengers. And so in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah Azza wa Jal gives us an example of how the prophets took this matter seriously. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, that Ibrahim alayhi salam advised and he commanded and he instructed his children. And Yaqub also did the same thing. He commanded and instructed his children. He said to them, Inna Allah astafa lakum ad-deen. Allah Azza wa Jal has chosen this religion for you. Istafa means that Allah has selected and chosen. And the word istafa, it comes from the word safa. And safa means something that is crystal clear, something that is pure. In other words, Allah Azza wa Jal chose Islam because of its purity. Because of its purity. Every single teaching in Islam calls to purity. And Islam teaches us to earn our wealth in a pure manner. And Islam teaches us pure relationships between husband and wife. And Islam, everything about it, is teaching us that which is pure. What we put in our mouths is pure. What comes out of our mouth when we talk is pure. Our manners, our behavior, all this is pure. This is why al-Islam was known as Inna Allah astafa lakum ad-deen. Here as Ibrahim alayhi salam is encouraging and advising his children and commanding them, he's saying to them that Allah has chosen Islam for you because of its purity. Then he said to them, فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. That's a prophet telling his children, who are prophets as well. A prophet telling his child, who is a prophet, don't you dare die except in a state of submission and in a state of Islam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, surrendering to Allah azza wa jal's will and command. And we find also the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, from his dua, you know from his dua what he would say? This is a prophet. He receives wahi from Allah. He is already guaranteed the paradise. He is a guidance to mankind from his dua that is recorded in the Quran. So that remains a source of light for you and I. Tawaffani muslima wa alhiqni bis salihin. That's a dua. He would say, my Lord, cause my death while I'm in a state of surrender and Islam and submission to you. Tawaffani muslima. Had a prophet making this dua? When was the last time you made this dua? Saying, my Lord, tawaffani musliman wa alhiqni bis salihin. It's there in the Quran for a reason. And the best dua a person could ever make is the dua that is found in the Quran. And that's a dua a prophet made. And Allah would record these words from the many dua he made. But this is a highlight in his life. Allah puts it in the Quran so that you and I can memorize it. And begin to ask Allah Azza wa Jal for this matter. Tawaffani muslima. Cause my death upon Islam. Cause my death while I have surrendered and submitted to you. Cause my death upon obedience to you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, when he used to visit Mecca, and just before he left the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, imagine this, you visited Al-Kaaba, the greatest masjid in Islam, the greatest masjid on earth. And you've performed most likely a Umrah or a Hajj. And you're coming in, the Iman is pumping in your heart. And he would stand at the mountain of As-Safa just before he left. And he would make a dua. You see, if you're in that situation and that position, having just completed a Umrah or a Hajj, what would you think? You'd think, wallah, alhamdulillah, I've got things under control here. My iman's already in its place. My submission, my obedience to Allah. I'm come here for a voluntary umrah. Never be deceived by your actions and your deeds. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu would stand on the mountain of As-Safa when he is farewelling the house of Allah. He would say, my Lord, Allahumma inni as'aluka كما هديتني للإسلام ألا تنزعه مني حتى تتوفاني وأنا مسلم. He would say, my Lord, I ask you, I beg you, I implore you, in the same manner you guided me to Islam, that you do not strip Islam away from me and you cause my death upon Islam. That was his dua. So this is supposed to be a frequent dua on the tongue of the believer. And this is why when one of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was asked, what is the most frequent dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She said that he would say, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik, O turner of the hearts. See how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would call out to Allah? He would call out to Allah by the fact that Allah is the one who turns the hearts. Because the most important thing here in life is your heart. Don't worry about your body. The day you die, the worms will eat it. That'll be finished. We'll put it in the earth. That'll be gone. The most important thing is your heart. That's where submission is. That's where Islam is. That's where obedience emanates from. That's where it comes from. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would begin his dua by saying, Ya muqallib al-qulub, O turner of the hearts. He knows, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the matter is all about the heart. That's all. Because if the heart is upright, it's steadfast, it's strong, then the body will follow. As the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And if this is dirty and filthy and corrupted and has neglected the commandments of Allah and the commandments of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what happens? The entire body follows as well. And then everything is corrupted in this person. So he would say, Ya muqallib al-qulub, O turner of the hearts, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Make my heart firm upon your deen. Which means what? Keep me in a state of submission to you. Continue to allow my heart to remain obedient and in submission to you and your commands. And he made this dua. Allah Azza wa Jal accepted this dua from him. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died a believer, and everyone who made this dua of the stories I gave you died a believer. So this is not a matter for you and I to test out, let's try out. It works. It's working, and it worked for centuries. You need to now memorize these ad'iya, memorize these supplications, and make them a part of your day and a part of your night, in your sujood, in every moment of an accepted dua. Tawaffani muslima, tawaffani musliman, tawaffani muslima. The one who continues to beg Allah to cause his death upon Islam while having submitted and surrendered to every commandment of Allah, bi-idhnillah, Allah Azza wa Jal will grant him this. Allah, it's an honor, it's a gift to die while having submitted to Allah Azza wa Jal's commands. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran concerning submission to him subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, istajibu lillahi walil rasool, idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, O you who believe, Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he said, whenever you hear, O you who believe, then pay close attention to it. Because it's either something good and beneficial that Allah Azza wa Jal is commanding you to adhere to, or it's either something bad and filthy that Allah Azza wa Jal is warning you to keep away from. In this case here, it is something pure and beneficial for us. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, Istajibu lillahi wa lirrasool. Submit to Allah and His Messenger. Answer Allah and His Messenger. Adhere and commit to Allah's commands and to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's commands. Istajibu lillahi wa lirrasool. Iza da'akum lima yuhyikum. Submit to the call of Allah and His Messenger whenever they call you to that which gives you life. You see, he did not say submit to Allah and His Messenger's command. He said submit to Allah and His Messenger's to whatever they to what He calls you that gives you life. إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. The one who submits to Allah and His Messenger is a person who is alive, walking alive among the people. And of course, opposite to that, the one who has neglected Allah and His Messenger's commands, or even some of it, walks among the people, his body is alive and his heart is dead. His heart is dead. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-Furqan, when he praises Ibadur Rahman, Ibadur Rahman, these are people that Allah ascribed to himself. He called them the servants of the most merciful. You want closeness to Allah? There is nothing closer than these qualities that are mentioned in Surah Al-Furqan. Nothing will bring you closer to Allah than these qualities. And there are certain qualities. One of them, Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا صُمًّا وَعُمْيَانًا. Ibadur Rahman are people who, whenever they hear the message of Allah, whenever they hear the commandment of Allah and His Messenger, إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ, when they are reminded of the ayat and the commandments of Allah, لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا صُمًّا وَعُمْيَانًا, they do not turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to them. Meaning they rush to submit and to commit to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask you a question. How is this a praiseworthy quality of a believer? Remember, I told you in Surah Al-Furqan, Allah Azza wa Jal is speaking about high caliber people, like really super elite people. He calls them Ibadur Rahman. And then one of their characteristics, he says, that these are people, whenever they hear the commandment of Allah, whenever they hear the ayat, they don't abandon and neglect them. How is that a praiseworthy quality? Isn't that what a believer should be doing anyway? I give you the answer. It only becomes a praiseworthy quality when you live among a society and among people who the vast majority of them have turned a deaf ear and a blind eye to the commandments of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you live among a community, like today, in our time, in this day and age, every single sin and transgression and rebellion you can think of has been committed. Not only committed secretly, but committed publicly. And the worst of sins and the worst of transgression has been committed publicly. Not only that, but it has become law. And don't you dare condemn it. That's how bad evil has become rampant on earth. When you live in a society like this, when you live among people like this, and then you chose to submit to every command in the Quran and to every commandment of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as Allah says, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ, even if the disbelievers disliked this from you, now it becomes a praiseworthy quality. Now you're special because you're doing something against all of mankind. So it becomes a praiseworthy quality. For even submission to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the flag of a believer. It is what differentiates you from other people. Submission to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives you that unique identity. And on the day of judgment, that unique identity continues. People that answered Allah and His Messenger are separated from all of mankind. And they are given a unique raised platform. These are people that walk behind the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. On that day, we're going to call all of mankind to follow their imam. If your imam was the Quran, if your imam was the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find yourself walking behind him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that can only happen if you submitted to the commands of Allah and the commands of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, it will not happen. My brothers and sisters in Islam, you all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before He created mankind, before He created us, before we even existed, He already decreed for us a purpose. He already decreed for us all a purpose. And Allah Azza wa Jal knew before He created us why He is creating us. Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Dhariyat, He says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in Surah Al-Dhariyat, remind, for verily the reminder benefits the believers. You know this ayah, yeah? It is a very common ayah. And the very first thing that Allah reminds us of straight after this ayah, and this is beautiful to know, to connect them together. He says, remind, for verily the reminder benefits the believers. And the very first ayah that came after that, Allah reminds us of our purpose. He says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I only, yani this is the only reason and nothing else. I only created mankind and jinn kind so that they worship me. That's it. I created them so that they worship me and surrender and submit to every command I give them. So that means our purpose in life is to worship Allah in the way we dress. We worship Allah in the way we eat. We worship Allah in the way we earn our wealth. We worship Allah Azza wa Jal in that which we drink, so we keep away from that which is haram. We worship Allah Azza wa Jal in conducting good manners and behavior with others. A Muslim is an all-rounder, worships Allah in every aspect and matter of life. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That's the commandment. And that is the purpose for why Allah Azza wa Jal created us. Every single time you submit to a command of Allah, you are fulfilling your purpose on earth. And when you fulfill your purpose on earth, you find yourself. You become tranquil. You become peaceful because you are doing that which you were created for. Today, there's a lot of depression on earth, anxiety, people of suicidal thoughts and whatever it is. Why? Because humans are not behaving as humans. A human, if he behaves as a human, he becomes at peace with himself. And how does a human behave like a human? Obey Allah's command. Fulfill your purpose. You know, I tell you, see this? This is an iPad. If I use it for what it was designed for, it'll serve me for years. Because I'm using it for that which it was designed for. But if, let's say, I use this for what it was not designed for, let's say I used it to sweep the carpet, it won't last long. Give it a week, 2 weeks, the screen's broken, it won't work anymore. Because I'm using it for other than its purpose, I damage it. The human being was created and he has a purpose. So long as you fulfill your purpose, and that is to submit to Allah and His command, you'll remain in top shape. You'll remain in top shape. Health-wise, mentally, physically, spiritually, in every aspect you'll remain in top condition. But if you use yourself for other than your purpose, so now this is someone who is disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal, dresses in a manner that is opposing the commandment of Allah, eats what is forbidden, drinks what is forbidden, carries himself out and conducts himself out with people and mankind and everything else in a manner that is forbidden, then he starts having troubles. Inside system starts to play up. Psychological issues, mental problems. Why? Because this human is not behaving like how a human is supposed to be. He is not doing his purpose on earth. It's very simple. Very simple. You want a cure? You want a cure for mankind? And all its sicknesses and all its diseases? Submit to Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's the cure. That's the cure. Subhanallah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And this worship that we were created for has to be a worship in which we are willing and lovingly embracing. There is a type of obedience that seems to be forced upon a person. There are some people that worship, they obey Allah forcefully. They don't want it, but they do it so they don't hear it and condemnations from people and so on. Like al-munafiq, worships Allah among the people just so that he mixes in and so that no one gives him a hard time. And there's other people that worship Allah Azza wa Jal willingly and lovingly. That's the type of worship Allah wants. And that's the accepted iman on the Day of Judgment. Not the apparent obedience, that's not accepted. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said about al-munafiqoon, ta'atun ma'rufa. They used to have an apparent obedience. Apparent ta'atun ma'rufa. That's condemned, that's not acceptable. The kind of ya'budun, the kind of worship and submission to Allah, the one we're speaking about a one that a person embraces willingly and lovingly. You know, obeying Allah, what is it called in Arabic? Al-ta'ah, yeah? Have you heard of the word al-ta'ah? Ta'atullah, ta'ah. Ta'ah means obedience to Allah and His Messenger. You know the word ta'ah? What does it come from? It comes from the word tawwa'. Have you heard of the word salatu tatawwa'? Has anyone heard salatu tatawwa'? What does that mean? What does salatu tatawwa' mean? Voluntary prayers. Salat al-tatawwu' means voluntary prayers. So, ta'a embeds within it the meaning of voluntarily. So, ta'a doesn't only mean obedience. Ta'a means voluntarily obeying, willingly obeying, lovingly obeying. The proper ta'a is the ta'a of the believer. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, He says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. I swear to it, I swear by your Lord. And this is very rare that Allah Azza wa Jal takes an oath by Himself. He said, I swear to it, by your Lord, they will never, ever, ever reach complete iman. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Until they appoint you, O Messenger of Allah, a decision maker in their life. You need to appoint the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an imam and as a leader in your life. That's number one. But then that's not enough. Number one, you need to put him and appoint him as an imam, as a role model. Number one. Then, ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ. Number two, they shall not find any discomfort deep within their hearts concerning that which he commands. See that? So the first thing is, you've put him as an imam and as a role model and you'll obey his instructions and commandments. Number two, don't you dare have any discomfort in your heart. Everything in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah would command, you have to willingly embrace it, lovingly embrace it. And then not only that, وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. So you've appointed him as your imam. You don't find any discomfort in your heart concerning the commandment that is about to get to you. And number three, you completely submit to it. Complete submission without any question. This is the iman that is accepted. Until that happens, Allah is saying, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. And he's taking an oath by it. I swear by your Lord, they will never attain true iman. True iman has its three things. That's what true iman is. But you see, the end is submission. The end is to follow the command. Number one was to appoint Allah and His Messenger as the leader ahead of you. Number two, no discomfort in the heart. Willingly embrace the command and the instruction. لَنُتِعَ مُسْلَمٌ. And then number three, do. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. There's an emphasis on this verb of submission. And don't you dare question. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On the Day of Judgment, your wealth and your children will be of no benefit. No benefit. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned these two things because these are the two most dearest things to a person. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says to us, what will actually benefit us? إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except who comes on the Day of Judgment with a pure heart. And the pure heart is the heart that is submissive, obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal. It's a heart that has submitted and surrendered to the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's the pure heart. That's the only thing that will benefit you on the Day of Judgment. Wallahi, if you do not learn this lesson now in this worldly life, you're going to learn it just moments before you die. Because at that moment, you will realize, truly and indeed, my wealth is of no benefit now. My cars are of no benefit. My homes are of no benefit. My children, what can they do for me now? My friends, my business, everything I owned in this world and life, what's it going to do for me? You will learn this lesson very soon. At that moment, you will realize that the only thing that's going to benefit you was this clean heart of yours, this pure heart, that had submitted to Allah Azza wa Jalla's command and to this Messenger's command sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what's going to benefit you. And this is why the dying person, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. You see, the wish of a dying person, when a person is dying, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, O you who believe, give in charity from that which we gave you. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِي, before death arrives to any one of you. And then he'll be in that state where he will say, my Lord, respite me. Give me an extension. Give me an extension. So that I may give صَدَقَةً وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And I commit to righteousness. Give me an extension so that I may become obedient to you and submit to your commandment. Now it's serious. Now, my Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to pray five times a day. I'm ready to fast Ramadan once again. Wallah, I'm ready to give 2.5% sadaqah and zakat of my wealth. I'm ready to wear my hijab now at this very moment. I'm ready. I'm ready to dress in an appropriate manner. I'm ready to commit and and adhere to all the commandments of yours in the Quran. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Now I'm ready. But Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. Allah Azza wa Jal is not going to extend anyone's life if the time has come. وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. What are you waiting for? Are we going to wait until that moment in which Allah already told us how we're going to behave? It is only a foolish person that will wait until that moment and then he'll speak the same words that Allah said to him. You already say that. What excuse will you have then on the Day of Judgment? No excuse. Zero excuse. This وَأَكُنْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. This promise that you are going to make moments before your soul comes out. My Lord, I am ready to submit now. Bring it earlier. Bring it now. Now. It's required right now. Because a person doesn't know when he dies. And then that will be the most beneficial thing for you as you die in your grave on the Day of Judgment, all the way until you enter the paradise. Whereas everything else that distracted you from the submission to Allah will abandon you on the Day of Judgment. The question is, what distracted you from submitting to Allah? What is it? Allah, times are difficult, times are hard. That's all going to finish when you die. That will not be used as an excuse on the Day of Judgment. Allah, my financial situation, Allah, I was scared. I don't know what people will say. I didn't know how to approach my work or my colleagues, and having submitted to Allah and pray in front of them and wear a hijab in public, I didn't know how to do all this. All of these excuses will become useless on the Day of Judgment. It is not allowed for a believer to put his situation before the commandment of Allah. This is not submission to Allah. We put Allah's command first before our emotions and situation. Yani look at Musa alayhi salam. I want you to imagine this scene. Musa alayhi salam is on a mountain. And he is scared and terrified. And he hears a voice calling him out. Ya Musa, innani ana Allah, la ilaha illa ana fa'budni, wa aqim as-salata li dhikri. Allahu Akbar. Imagine this. This is the very first moment when Musa alayhi salam hears the voice of Allah. Allah would say to him, Ya Musa, I am your Lord, innani ana Allah. There is no Lord worthy of worship except me. فَعْبُدْنِي, worship me. And establish the prayer for my remembrance. And he says to him a few things, and now he gives him a command. He says to him, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What is that in your right hand? Musa alayhi salam responds, he says, هِيَ عَصَايِ, it's my staff. And he mentions the benefits that he has with this staff. Allah did not mention to him, did not ask him, what do you do with it? But he carried on and he said, this is my staff. أَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَىٰ غَنَمِي. I tap the tree so the leaves can fall, so my sheep can eat from the leaves. أَتَوَكَّعُ عَلَيْهَا. I lean on it when I need to get up or sit down. And I have many other benefits with it. This is because he's enjoying now his conversation with Allah Azza wa Jal. He doesn't want it to end, so he talks things Allah did not ask him. But then look at this. Allah Azza wa Jal says to him, قَالَ أَلْقِهَا يَا مُوسَى. Throw it, Ya Musa. Throw your staff. You all know the story. فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى. All of a sudden it becomes this gigantic python, this snake. And not just that, it's moving. تَسْعَى, running. In Surah An-Naml, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us about the fear and the terror Musa had. وَلَّا مُدْبِرًا وَلَمْ يُعَقِّبْ. He turned and he ran away. Do you imagine a snake coming towards you? And he was barefooted, remember, because he took his shoes off. And he ran. He is terrified and afraid. Allah Azza wa Jal commands him now. He says to him, خُذْهَا وَلَا تَخَفْ. He says to him, O Musa, grab it, take it, and don't fear. Shuf. Musa alayhi salam grabs it. He takes it. Moments before he was running away, terrified. He's in a distressful situation. Maybe you could have looked at someone then and said, oh, it's all right. It's all right. You don't have to obey Allah because look, it looks like you're scared. Go. خُذْهَا. Put your emotions on the side. Put your situation on the side. And that's exactly what Musa alayhi salam did. And wallah, if you read this ayah, you would have expected. Wouldn't it have been better if Allah azza wa jal said, don't be afraid, relax, come and take it. But Allah azza wa jal didn't even deal with his emotional side first. Wisdom in everything that Allah azza wa jal says, Allah is teaching us through that story. Allah's command first. Put your emotions on the side, deal with that later. That sometimes we have, for example, a sister doesn't wear the hijab. Why? I'm not ready emotionally. I'm not ready for it. Here, all you need to see is read and reflect over Musa alayhi salam's story. You think Musa alayhi salam was ready to grab that staff in the manner it was, moving around? And as a normal being, a human being, you're scared from a snake? Except that he immediately turned the moment he heard Allah's command and he grabbed it. Did it harm him? No, it didn't harm him. In fact, it was a benefit for him. And it was what would destroy the magic of Fir'aun later on. It became a miracle. There's goodness in obeying Allah's command. No matter how you feel about it. The same Musa alayhi salam will have another episode in his life. In where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعْيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. This is when finally Musa alayhi salam managed to come out with 600 of Bani Israel from the shackles of Fir'aun, from the prisons of Fir'aun. They walked until they reached the Red Sea. And then Fir'aun and 2 million soldiers with him were behind them. And they are fast approaching because they're on horses. And the people of Musa, Bani Israel, they look at this scene and they say, Inna lamudrakun, we are finished, we are gone. Musa alayhi salam, among them, he says, Kalla, no, not at all. Inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen, I have my Lord with me and he'll guide me out of all of this mess. So you know what happened? How did Allah guide him? Allah Azza wa Jal said to him, فَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى أَنِضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْبَحْرِ. We revealed to Musa, strike the staff or strike the sea with your staff. That's a commandment. Musa alayhi salam did not turn and question, what's a staff hitting a sea going to do? What's this going to do? Where's the logic in this? He didn't do this. Imagine this intense moment. 2 million soldiers are coming towards you. They are going to annihilate you and destroy you. And 600 of your own people don't even have any self-esteem. They don't even have any confidence. They are all speaking words of negativity. How would you feel at that moment? Wallah, you can't. As much as you think of the situation and try to make something out of it, all you can think of is, what is Musa alayhi salam going to do with this commandment of Allah? He did not mock the command of Allah. He did not question the command of Allah. Even now, ask, what's a stick on the sea, what's it going to do? Enta, don't worry, what's it going to do? Don't worry. As long as the commandment of Allah reaches you, then close your eyes and follow. Musa alayhi salam with no hesitation. Imagine that. Imagine seeing Musa alayhi salam walking down, gets the staff, goes to the ocean, and he strikes it. What would you say about such a person if you saw him? But that exactly was relief. In obeying Allah's commands, there is relief. There is mercy. There is goodness. Wasn't that the start of how Allah Azza wa Jal would save Musa and 600 of Bani Israel? And not only that, destroy the enemy and 2 million of Fir'aun's people forever and gone? All of this goodness came because one man, a prophet of Allah, did the right decision at that moment and obeyed Allah Azza wa Jal and submitted to his command with no question. That's it. That's all it is. Submission to Allah Azza wa Jal with no question. You don't have to understand the wisdom behind why Allah commanded this and commanded that. Today, subhanAllah, we do live in this kind of society. society of technology and science and information and research, and mallah, we need to understand why this is halal, why this is haram, otherwise. Ya akhi, this is dangerous. Wallahi, it is dangerous. If you feel that your iman will only increase after a scientific research about a specific concern, about a specific command or a prohibition, there is something, there is trouble. There is a trouble and there is a problem within your heart. For example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا وَقَعَ الذُّبَابُ فِي إِنَاءِ أَحَدِكُمْ. If a fly was to fall in any one of your pots, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَلِيَغْمِسُهُ. Just dip that fly in, take it out and throw it. Because one wing has a disease, bacteria and diseases and so on. And the other wing has a cure for that disease. Had a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. So now I'm shocked to hear now on TikTok and other social media platforms. Now, because they generate videos with a voiceover, they call it the AI and so on. You just type in the information and not even someone reading it, someone else is reading it. And he says, it is incredible and amazing to find that research has now proven that on one wing of the fly, there are bacteria and pathogens and viruses, and on the other one, there is cure. Allahu Akbar. If your iman increased after that scientific research, then there is trouble. There is trouble. If you only now are comfortable to dip the fly into the water or into this drink after the scientific research, there is an issue. There was discomfort in the heart before this scientific research. We are living in a dangerous time. These research and scientific, it's good. It's good, we can benefit from them. But they are not the standard in the life of a believer. Where alhamdulillah, whatever Allah Azza wa Jal commands is the truth. You think Musa alayhi salam had time to do some scientific research as to what a stick will do when he hits the sea with it? No time. Submit, khalas, yalla, quick. You get the commandment, you submit and you move on. That's a true believer. That's the type of stage we want to reach, you know. And there are many stories of how these matters would be conducted in the life of a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam among the companions. I give you an example. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, He reveals the prohibition of alcohol. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Are you people going to stop alcohol consumption altogether? As-Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when this ayah came down, and it was a decisive answer to this matter and problem of alcohol. As-Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they came out on the streets and they said, intahayna, intahayna, intahayna. We're done, we're finished with alcohol. I'm talking to you about people that became addicted to alcohol. Yani, as-Sahaba, they used to drink alcohol. And they got addicted to alcohol. And that's what alcohol is. It becomes an addiction to the one who drinks it. Can you imagine? Finally, the commandment comes down and Allah prohibits this beverage. And they chant out on the streets, we're done, we're done. And they go to their homes and they get the barrels of alcohol and they pour it onto the streets. And the entire streets of Al-Madina is flooded with alcohol. And not only for that day, we're charged for one day or 2 days. Khalas, never again. Khalas, finished. I don't want anything to do with alcohol. This is submission. They didn't ask, Ya Rasulullah, give us a day or two. We've got barrels at home. Allah, we've worked hard on them. We've spent money on them. One more week, inshallah, and then we'll stop. No, nafi. Intahayna, intahayna, right now. That's the submission that's required. Immediate submission the very moment you receive the command or the prohibition. Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrates the behavior and the attitude of the female companions when the ayat of the hijab finally came down in Al-Madinah. So before this, Al-Hijab was not obligatory. It wasn't mandatory for women to cover their head. So there were women walking around without their head covered. That happened. Then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ. Command the believing woman that they strike their khumur, they strike their clothing on their juyub, meaning cover the head and cover the chest. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that the female companions, the woman, rushed to their homes. فَشَقَقْنَا مُرُوطَهُنَّ فَتَخَمَّرْنَا بِهِنْ. They tore parts of their clothes and they covered their head and their chest with it. You read this narration of Aisha radiallahu anha. And back in the time, they didn't have like what we have today, closet, 500 dresses in the closet, all lined up one after the other. La, that wasn't the case. Barely people had one or two dresses. Some would have one dress. People would sleep naked, waiting for their clothes to dry up after they've washed it. Yani probably the elite among them had 3-4 dresses. The average people would have 1 or 2 dresses. So this woman would receive this commandment of covering up. So they would rush to their homes and they would take perhaps the 1 more dress that's there. And shaqaqna murutahun, they tore a piece out of their clothing and they would cover up with that. They didn't say, Ya Rasulullah, Allah, give us another few days because the caravans are arriving. They're coming with some material clothing, some fabric we'll purchase. Then we'll make some hijab design and we'll design it in a manner that is good and befitting for us, and then we'll wear it. No, don't worry about this. What you worry about is the submission. See, the style of the hijab wasn't even an issue. Imagine a torn cloth on a head of a woman at that time. I don't care. What do people? I don't care what people say. Does it look out of fashion? I really don't care. It's torn. Doesn't matter. What is counted is that heart that submitted and rushed to the obedience of Allah. That's what's written in the book. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to see. That. Subhanallah. Even in the life of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-sahaba radiyallahu anhum are in Masjid Quba and they are praying. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is 4 kilometers away from them, he is praying in his masjid, al-Masjid al-Nabawi. And you know, al-Qibla at the very beginning was towards Jerusalem. So they were praying towards Jerusalem. Then the Qibla changed. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed Salat al-Dhuhr facing the new Qibla. And he instructed a companion and he said, go to Masjid Quba and inform the people there that the Qibla have changed and now they're supposed to head and face towards Baytullah, Al-Kaaba. So this companion leaves Al-Madinah and is on his way to Quba. He reaches Quba, as-Sahaba are praying Salat al-Asr. And he screams out, O people! And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded me to tell you and inform you all that Al-Qibla has changed and now we're supposed to face Al-Kaaba. Wallah, the narration. Wallah, in their prayer, as they're praying, people are turning, they're doing 180. Everyone's turning 180 degrees. When the Imam is at the front, they make way for him and he walks all the way until he gets to the other side. Hada in salat. They did not say, wait, let's finish the salat al-asr first, right? And then we'll discuss the matter, we'll see what's going on, and then we'll implement, inshallah, salat al-maghrib. La! Can you imagine the scene? Can you imagine people turning when the Imam is walking? And you might say, but I said khushu', could it disrupt al-khushu', the lines? Don't worry about this. What you worry is submission and obedience. Obedience and submission before styles and before looks and before appearances and designs and whatever else comes with that. Submission, that's what's going to be recorded. That's what's going to be counted. Doesn't matter in the way it's conducted. Sometimes You might be weak in conducting this matter. But what Allah Azza wa Jal is observing first, your submission, your obedience. That's what's counted first, subhanAllah. Shuf al-Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Shuf, yani even in things that weren't even commands. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is once praying. And as he's praying, he removes his shoes. He was praying with his shoes, his footwear. So then, الصحابة رضي الله عنهم immediately behind him took their shoe off. وَأَفْتَ الصَّلَاةِ The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to them and he said to them, why did you people take your shoes off? They said, we saw you take it off, so we took it off. Yeah, but why? We don't know why. You did it and it was good enough for us to rush to do exactly what you did. He said to them, Jibreel came to me and informed me that was impurity on my footwear, so I took it off. But you see the rush to obedience and submission, even in matters they didn't understand what the reason was. That's the kind of submission and the kind of obedience that is required. Jabir ibn Sulaym radiallahu anhu, he said, I went to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day and I said to him, I'ahad li ahda, convey to me something, inform me about something. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, la tasubbanna ahada, never curse anyone. Jabir ibn Sulaym said, from then on, I never cursed an animal, a slave, a human. I never cursed anything in my life. Khalas bas. Not yani and wallah, I didn't curse anyone for one day or 2 days and then I got back onto it. I never cursed anyone ever again in my life until the day I died. What's this? Submission, obedience, straight away. And not for 1 or 2 days. The deen is not a joke, it's not a game. This is a way of life. This is the only way of life. This is what it is. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ Holding on to these commands up until the day you die. Umar radiallahu anhu, once he says to us that I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَنْهَاكُمْ أَنْ تَحْلِفُوا بِآبَائِكُمْ That the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbids you all to take an oath by your forefathers. Like saying, وَحِيَاتْ بَيِّي وَحِيَاتْ جِدِّي I take an oath by the soul of my grandfather, by my dad, by my generation. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid them. Umar radiallahu anhu says, I did not take an oath by any of my forefathers ever again after I heard this from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Immediate submission and submission for life. Subhanallah. Ma'qil ibn Yasar radiallahu anhu, he says he married, look at this, this is personal now. He married his sister to a man, to a companion. And this companion ended up divorcing his sister. And you know, a divorced sister back in the house, and your brother-in-law did what he did, it kind of yani, ruins a relationship. That's a natural feeling, a general feeling among people. So this companion, that was his brother-in-law, came to him and he said to him, Ya Maqil, give me your sister back. I want her in marriage again. Maqil got angry, upset. You think my sister's a gay man? Marry her and then divorce her, marry her. No, go. So then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed an ayah. Shuf, this is a personal matter. It's a very touchy subject. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed in the Quran, وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءِ فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ فَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ أَن يَنْكِحْنَ أَزْوَاجَهُنَّ إِذَا تَرَاضَوْا بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Allah Azza wa Jal says, if you divorce the woman, and the woman has finished her waiting period, and then Allah Azza wa Jal gives an instruction to the wali, يعني, to the guardians of this woman. Allah Azza wa Jal tells them, do not prevent your woman from going back to her ex if they have agreed upon this matter. This is a commandment. Ma'qil ibn Yasar radiallahu anhu ran to this companion, to his brother, ex-brother-in-law. And he said to him, Ta'al uzawwijka wa ukrimka. He says, come, I want to marry you off to my sister once again. And I'm going to honor you this time. Show off the emotion. I told you before. Your situation, your emotion, whatever it is, you throw it to the side. The moment you receive Allah's command and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rabi'atul Aslami radiyallahu anhu, he was a young companion that served the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was very poor. And he one day complained to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I did not find a wife. I was struggling to find a wife. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him to a family of the Ansar. And he said to him, go there and tell them that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands you all to marry me to such and such woman. Oof. Imagine that. So this Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he went and he reached these people of the Ansar. Remember, he's poor. And he went to them and he said, O people, I am the messenger of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he commands you all to marry me off to such and such woman in your tribe. So they said to him, Marhaban bi Rasuli Rasulillah. Welcome, welcome, O messenger of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they took him in and they honored him and they treated him as a guest and they gave him that woman and he married her and they did not ask anything from him. Khalas, done. Submission to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No question. Subhanallah. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he says that he heard the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, ما حق امرئ مسلم له شيء يوصي فيه يبيت ليلتين إلا ووصيته عنده مكتوبة. He heard that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is not befitting for a believer who has a right of some sort, meaning he has a debt, he owes someone money, he's made an oath, he's got some property with someone, yani he's got some rights with people and debt and money. It is not befitting for a believer that has these rights with others that he sleep or 2 to 3 nights go past except that he should have his wasiyah, his Islamic will, written by his bedside. It is not befitting. So yani from the hadith what we learn is that it is recommended that if you owe someone something or have a right with someone, that you write an Islamic will. However, if you're not attached to anyone with anything, you don't owe anyone money, you haven't made an oath, you don't owe days of Ramadan to fast, you don't have any of these things, you're in the clear, then it is not, yani, it's permissible. If you want to write a wasiyah, write a wasiyah. You don't have to write a wasiyah. The wasiyah is recommended for the one who is in that situation. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, and he lived 40 years after he heard this. And he said, not a single night passed by except that I had my wasiyah at my head, my Islamic will at my head. You know what that means? That means, in 40 years he's going to live, how many changes is there going to be? You have a debt, you fulfill your debt, so you'll amend the wasiyah, I fulfilled the debt. Then you have another debt, then you've given this right, then you've done your days that you've missed of Ramadan, then you keep changing, this is not easy. Every single night or 2 nights there is an amendment and a change in the wasiyah. And he did this all his life until the day he died. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's not befitting for a Muslim to sleep while having something with someone or owing someone something, except that it is written. Now what's this kind of submission and obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is something incredible. But I take you to something even further than this, so you can understand. Because when we understand this kind of submission and obedience from the companions themselves, it'll start to make sense to each and every single one of us. Ubayd ibn Jurayj al-Tabi'i radiyallahu anhu, he narrated, he said that I saw Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu in Mecca during Hajj. And he said, I saw Ibn Umar. Imagine, this is Ubayd ibn Jurayj, he's the student of Ibn Umar. He says, I saw Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was doing tawaf around the Kaaba, he only touched 2 corners. the Rukn al-Yamani, which faces towards al-Yaman, and the one right next to it, which is the black stone. And I saw him wearing al-Ni'al al-Sibtiyah. Al-Ni'al al-Sibtiyah is footwear made from deer skin that is hairless. So deer skin, hair is removed, and footwear is made from that. Ibn Umar was wearing that. وَرَأَيْتُكَ تَصْبَغُ بِالصُّفْرَةِ. And he saw Ibn Umar dyeing either his beard or his clothing with a sufra. Sufra is the saffron color. وَرَأَيْتُكَ إِذَا كُنْتَ بِمَكَّةَ أَهَلَّ النَّاسُ إِذَا رَأَوْا الْهِلَالُ وَلَمْ تَهِلَّ أَنْتَ إِلَّا إِلَى يَوْمِ التَّرْوِيَةِ. And he saw Ibn Umar that when he was in Mecca, he did not enter the state of Ihram except on the eighth day of Dhul-Hijjah. Because the eighth day of Dhul-Hijjah is the day of Hajj. That's when it starts. The sunnah is from that day to wear your ihram and say, Labbaik Allahumma Hajjan. While others were saying, Labbaik Allahumma Hajjan from the first day of Dhul-Hijjah. So that's 8 days before the Hajj. They put the ihram, they'll say, Labbaik Allahumma Umrah, just wait in Mecca until it's the eighth day and they'll go to Mina. But he'll only do that on the eighth. So he asked Ibn Umar. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu now is going to answer him. He says to him, as for the two pillars, I touched them because I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam touching them and not touching the other two pillars. And he said to him, you saw me wearing al-ni'al al-sabtiyah, the de-skin footwear, because I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wearing it. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the first one is perhaps a worship. No problems. But the other one, a footwear, you think this is a cultural matter, wear what you want. He's saying, I'm wearing it because I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wearing it. He says, and I dyed my bead or my clothing with that saffron color because I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do the same thing. So I did that. And I entered the state of ihram for the Hajj on the 8th because I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing that, so I did that. Notice, my brothers and sisters in Islam, he doesn't have a reason. He doesn't have a reason. It's not like, well, this one's more comfortable than the others that people are wearing. Maybe it's not more comfortable. And it's not even a command. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never commanded to wear the ni'al al-sabtiyah. This is the idea. He's doing it, I want to do it. Complete submission. Complete obedience, blind following of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Heather, what does that say about the state of the heart of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu? And when he answers his student, Ubayd ibn Juraij, in this manner, what is he planting in him? He's planting in him the love of submission and obedience and following in the example and the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Enter, my brothers and sisters in Islam today, if your children asked you about something you do in life, or about some clothing you wear, or about whatever, do you have anything in your life where you can say, my son, I do this because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that? Sure, if you don't, start filling your life with matters that are pleasing to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that if you're ever asked by your children, dad, why do you have a bead? He said to him, because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a nice, thick, long bead. And I like to do it because he had it. Heck, this is how you instill the love of submission and obedience in the heart of your children and people around you. When to my sister, when your daughter asks you from the very young age, why do you cover your hair when you walk outside the home and you don't do that in the home? You say to her, because this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded. And this is what Allah commanded. Wallah, it's enough. This answer is enough. But we've reached a day and age where this is not enough for people anymore. Unless you sit down and you pull out research papers and scientific metal, I don't know what it is. Then and only, I might give it a thought. Ma'azallah, iman of hypocrites. This is iman of hypocrites. We ask Allah Azzawajal to save us all from this. That's the submission that's required. But even then, my brothers and sisters, I take it even to another level. Look, you might not even assume this would have ever been possible. You have Anas radiallahu anhu, he narrates. He said that a man invited the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to food. So he entered the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went with this man, and Anas was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they entered. And they sat. And this man had prepared for them khubzun min sha'ir wa maraq fihi dubba'un wa qadid. He prepared for them bread, barley bread, and some type of soup, and qadid. Qadid is like a special bread that is put with the meat, cooked with the meat. Anas radiallahu anhu sat, and he said, I saw the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sorry, by the way, in the dish there was dubba is pumpkin. Anas radiallahu anhu said, I sat and I observed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going after the pumpkin in the plate. Wherever the pumpkin was, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take and he would eat it. And he's following it wherever it is in the plate, in front of him, over there, on the left, on the right. Anas radiallahu anhu said, I recognized it. And from that day onwards, I loved pumpkin. And I ask, this is not a worship. This is not any cultural practice. This is a taste of the tongue. It differs from person to person. How can your love and your submission and your obedience reach such a level where you are prepared to change your taste buds to love that which the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved and forever? Something incredible. But it's even more incredible than this. I have here for you hadith Jabir radiallahu anhu. Jabir radiallahu anhu, he said, the Prophet took by my hand and invited me to his house. Jabir radiallahu anhu was a young sahabi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took him to his house. And he brought out three loaves of bread that were hard. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his wife Aisha, هل عندنا مرق؟ أو هل عندنا إدام؟ Do we have a dip? Like any kind of dip, because this bread's hard. We would dip it into something. So Aisha radiallahu anha, embarrassed, she said, ما عندنا إلا الخل. We only have vinegar. That's all we have as a dip, as something to dip. We only have vinegar. You know what vinegar is and the taste of vinegar. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam da'a bihi faja'ala ya'kulu minhu. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for it. Bring the vinegar. Put the vinegar in front of him. Took pieces from this bread, dipped it in vinegar, and ate bread dipped in vinegar. And as he's eating, he's saying, ni'ma al-idamu al-khal. How excellent vinegar is as a dip. How excellent it is as a sauce. And he's dipping and eating. Ujabir and Ishuf, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ni'ma al-idamu al-khal. He said it to comfort his wife so that she doesn't stress out, thinking, oof, we've just got a guest here, we've given him vinegar, and how's he going to eat this vinegar with the bread? And for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept saying, ni'mal idamul khal, to diffuse the situation and make everyone feel comfortable for his wife. Now he is this Jabir. The thing is, Jabir radiallahu anhu said, he said, I loved vinegar since I heard the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say how excellent of a dip vinegar is. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters in Islam tonight, I'm not telling you to go and love vinegar and go put it now and dip some bread in there and to go and buy a kilo of pumpkin and cook it tonight. What we're saying is, where the commandment of Allah and the commandment of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, follow that. وبإذنالله, we are considered Muslims with Allah Azza wa Jal. And let's meet Allah Azza wa Jal with that. Very simple. Wallahi, very simple. Very simple. Allah Azza wa Jal commanded from us 5 prayers a day. Specific times to pray them. Right? And they're all beneficial and good for us. And then there's 1 month of Ramadan we fast. And then 2.5% of your wealth, go and pay it zakat. And don't delay it. Pay it as soon as possible. Once a lifetime hajj if you're able to do so. And then there's a specific dress code. Adhere to it until you die. And there are some foods, keep away from them. Some drinks, keep away from them. And there are manners that you're supposed to adhere to and commit to and keep away from filthy words and filthy manners. Was? That's all it is. And it's all in the Quran. We read the Quran every day, every night, to get to know what Allah Azza wa Jal wants from you to submit to. And then challenge yourself with everything you read that's new, with everything you don't question it. Get up and immediately follow. And don't ask, is it obligatory, is it sunnah, is it recommended, makruh, wajib, that's not you. These words were actually not meant for the general people. Sunnah, wajib, mustahab, makruh, haram, mubah. This was not meant for the general people. This was meant as a discussion among the scholars of Islam so that we know what is supposed to have to do and what you don't have to do. But it was never ever meant to be that, oh, sunnah, I'll leave it, yani, you don't have to do it. Well, fard, do it. This is a wrong understanding among people. Do you think the scholars that used to sit down and write these matters would say, oh, alhamdulillah, hey, the sunnah ma'nata, we can rest, we didn't have to do it? That wasn't the case. Shafi'i rahimahullah, he has an entire discussion about the night prayer, whether it's obligatory or sunnah. And at the end of that entire discussion, he says, and we do not love for any of the believers to abandon it. Shuf, this is the while, and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do it. Submission, follow, continue to follow and to submit, so that when you die in a state of Islam, in a state of submission. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bestow upon us His mercy and His forgiveness. And I leave you with one more thing I forgot to mention, to drive that point of you don't have to understand the wisdom behind everything. And that is this, you know the Qur'an, you know that there are ayat in the Qur'an that are known as disjointed letters, yes? Like what? Give me an example. Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Mim Saad, Waha Mim, Kaf Haya Ayn Saad, Qaf Unun, and so on. I ask you a question. Alif Lam Mim, its first position is where? The first one is in the beginning of the Qur'an, Surah Al-Baqarah. What does it mean? Does anyone know what it means? Allahu A'lam, that's the answer. Consensus among the entire Ummah of Islam, no one knows what it means. And no one will ever know what it means in this worldly life. But I ask you a question. When you read Alif Lam Mim, do you worship Allah by reading that and expect 30 hasanat from Allah, 10 for every letter? Yes, yeah? So there you go. There is a moment in life in which you are worshipping Allah by reading something, you got no clue what it means. Yet you submit and you read it as Quran and you're worshipping Allah. And that is training your heart to submit to a command of Allah even if you got no clue of the wisdom and the reason behind it. It is enough for you to know that every commandment that is in the Quran and in the Sunnah came from Al-Hakim Al-Alim, the all-knowledgeable, the all-wise. And so that means that every commandment and every prohibition must be full of knowledge and full of wisdom. Yaseen wal-Qur'an al-Hakim. Al-Qur'an is full of wisdom in its laws and prohibitions and everything that is there. The human being is weak. The human being is intellectually deficient. The human being is incomplete. Allah Azza wa Jal is complete. Allah Azza wa Jal is perfect. And everything that comes from Allah is complete and perfect. Why would you think an incomplete human being wants to challenge a complete being in that which he legislated? Ah, wallah. Wallah, this is a sickness. This is a sickness. This is an arrogant human being. This is why when Iblis, and he was the first one to neglect the first command of Allah, when Allah said to him, make sujood to Adam, Allah considered that kibr, arrogance. Every commandment you turn away from is arrogance. Whether you like this word and being labeled with this word or not, that is the reality. So don't yani come and say, ana wallah, I'm not ready. Wallahi anta, you're arrogant. That's all it is. Illa Iblis aba wastakbar. And didn't Iblis have a justification with him? Saying, ana, I'm better, but now I'm created from fire, he's created from clay. So what? Let's assume fire is better than clay. So what? Allah commanded to make a sajda. It's not about who's better and what's better. It's about there's a commandment. Follow it. No justification, no reason, no complaint, no rubbish. So anyone who receives a commandment of Allah and says, I'm not ready for it, I'm not in the best situation for it, you don't know what's happening in my life, you don't know the stress I'm going through, you don't know the difficulty and the calamity I'm going through, this is not the time for it, wallahi, arrogance. And you are only increasing your calamity upon calamity. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. Whenever they were told, say La ilaha illallah, adhere to Allah's command, submit to Allah's command and instructions, Allah labeled their rejection with one word. He said, يستكبرون. They would arrogantly reject. That's it. That's all it is. So go and find a solution for yourself, because that's the reality. As harsh as it may sound, that's Allah Azza wa Jalla's mercy. Teaching us you're a human being owned by Allah. Allah knows you more than you know yourself. So don't give excuses to Allah. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah Azza wa Jalla did not burden us more than what we can carry. You see, all these commandments in the Quran, wallahi, every human being can fulfill them. No matter what your situation was. Didn't I give you the situation of Musa alayhi salam? You can consider that like the biggest calamity you're going through. Did he say, look, Allah, it's not times now. Where am I going to obey now, Allah, and take a stone and throw it and cast a staff onto the sea? It's not time for it. I'm in a huge calamity now. My life's on the line. Nothing will save you from your calamity other than obeying Allah's command and rushing to it. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to instill within our hearts submission to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to grant us and to bless us with genuine love for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla that He cause our death upon Iman and Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect us on the Day of Judgment among the Siddiqeen wa Nabiyeen wa Shuhada'i wa Saliheen fi Jannatin Na'im. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our gathering, to forgive our sins, to forgive our shortcomings, and to make us of those who truly say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our deeds and to multiply our reward. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the hellfire and His punishment and His curse. Innahu waliyu dhalika wal qadiru alayhi wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.